Yes, hello, and a very warm welcome to you. Whether this is your first time with me, or if you've made any visits before at all, great to have you here. A wee bit of a celebration going on this week, because we've hit 20 episodes of EYP now, Enjoy Your Piping, and we've just hit 30,000 downloads as well. Now, that could mean 30,000 people have listened once, or I guess that one person has listened 30,000 times. I suspect it's somewhere in the middle, because we're now being listened to in 69 different countries across the world, which is just fantastic. And I reckon that's something to celebrate for sure. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to episode 20.
Enjoy Your Piping with Gary West, in association with RG Hardy Bagpipes.
Yes, I am Gary West, and this is Enjoy Your Piping. And as we heard there from Ailey, we're sponsored by RG Hardy Bagpipes, great supporters of piping in general and great supporters of this podcast specifically. And if you haven't already done so, you can tune in to episode 12, I think it was, when I paid a visit to their factory. You can find all about them there. Might be time for another visit soon, I'm thinking, to catch up with what's happening there. I know they have a new bagpipe design they've launched not that long ago, for example, the new Heritage Legacy set. And I mentioned last week that the Gordon Duncan Memorial Contest at Piping Live was won by Alistair Donaghy of the Field Marshal Montgomery Pipe Band. Well, he was playing that new Heritage Legacy set from RG Hardy. Very nice they look and sound too. So thanks to them. Well, you may have noticed this week's episode is entitled Purely Pibroch, which is something of a hint, I think, for what's coming up. Now, we've been discussing Pibroch on and off throughout the series so far, you might recall. Plenty of you have been in touch to encourage me to give you more. One or two of you have been in touch to encourage me to not give you any. And some have been in touch to say they've never really been into it, but they're willing to give it a go. Well, so far I've dabbled, really, around the edges. You've had a few tunes and part of tunes over these few months, or pibroch played on other instruments and so on. But we're going hardcore, full frontal this week. It's pibroch all the way. No, don't switch off, don't you dare. Stay and listen. This is total submersion tonight. No half measures. We're plunging in at the deep end. Pibroch all the way. Because I was delighted when an invitation came from the Eagle Piper Society some time ago to come along to record a very special annual event that they now run and which happened last weekend. The Captain John A. McClellan, MBE, Pibroch Recital and Dinner. Quite a mouthful. As indeed was the dinner. Very delicious it was too. The venue was very posh indeed. The Waldorf Astoria Caledonian Hotel in Edinburgh. The bothy it was not, I can tell you. Well, the events run every year and it celebrates the contribution made to the composing and playing and teaching, indeed, of Kilmore by Captain John McClellan, who was one of the few people in modern times to have been a prolific composer of the big music of Kilmore, of pibroch, most of which was created much earlier than his lifetime. I suppose we're looking at, what, 17th, 18th, to a certain extent, 19th centuries. Certainly 17th and 18th seem to be the heyday of pibroch composition. Well, Captain John and Donald MacLeod really were the big name composers of pibroch in the 20th century. And this event has been part of the piping calendar for some time. 2011, I think it got going. Anyway, it was a wonderful evening. I was delighted to be invited to come along with microphones which I did, my wee desk and computer, to capture it for you. And once again, thanks to Charlie, my boy, for helping me set up during the day. Now, the fact that it is held every year after the World Championships and after Piping Live, but between the big solo gatherings at Oban, that's their Galshire gathering, and Inverness coming up this week, that's the Northern Meeting, it means that there's a lot of overseas pipers and enthusiasts around, and quite a few of them came to the dinner, including one who was competing indeed, Nick Hudson from Texas. He was one of the four invited players. Nick won the gold medal at the Northern Meeting in Inverness last year, so he's right up there now in the upper ranks, as are the others who were there, Ian Spears, Finlay Johnston and Willie McCallum. So all four players on the night, very much from the elite ranks of Highland Pipes soloists. And a great night was promised, and a great night we had. I'll tell you more about them and about Captain John himself, but let's get to the first of these performances, which came from Ian Spears. Now, Ian had won this event four times before this year, including last year. So he's got a safe pair of hands, more than safe. He's got a fantastic set of fingers and a huge understanding of the depth of what the Kilmore tradition is all about. Piping is very much in the Spears family. His father, Tom, was a famous player and judge. And his father, Ian's grandfather, Jock Spears, was also very well known in piping circles back in his day. Anyway, all of the tunes played at this event are Captain John McClellan compositions. And Ian's was called the Edinburgh Pibroch. Going to hear that shortly. But maybe I should give you a quick beginner's guide, just in case you're new to this, as I know some of you are, because you've written in to tell me that. New to Kilmore, to Pibroch. Or that you've maybe listened to it before, but just don't get it. You've no idea what's going on. So bear with me if you are already expert. But this is mainly aimed at those of you who are unsure what on earth happens when we hear Pibroch. What to listen out for? Well, first of all, you'll hear the ground, the urlar in Gaelic. That's the, I suppose you'd call it the setting out of the basic theme or the basic melody. And that establishes the mood, the feel of the whole piece. Actually, mood is a key word for Pibroch. I urge you to listen to the drones and then the notes of the melody against the drones, because the way that works is some of the notes are going to sound sweet, they're going to resonate nicely. Some, not so much. They might sound angry, they might clash a little, they might sound sad. And that's what it's all about, really, the combination, really, of assonance and dissonance, if you want the technical terms. Sour notes and happy notes, or sad notes and happy notes. And that drone thing then is so important. That's why pipers spend so much care and time and attention getting the drones absolutely bang in tune and set so that they stay in tune for the whole performance. If they don't, you lose the magic. You lose the mood, really. So do have a listen to the drones and the overall sound of what's happening with the melody against the drones. So after the ground, there will be a series of variations. Now, these explore that basic melody that's set out in the ground, and the variations increase in complexity as the tune moves on. And there are set ways in which that is done, strictly adhered to grace note combinations, embellishment combinations that are specific to Pibroch. So it kind of builds up to a climax, really, and then at the end the players finish by going back to the ground, or the first line of it, at least, to make it a kind of circular piece, really, rather than a linear journey. You're coming back to the start. So there's much more to it than that, but that's the basics for you. See if you can follow on as we hear this exquisite rendition of the Edinburgh Pibroch, composed by Captain John McClellan, played last weekend in Edinburgh by Ian Spears. Thank you. beautiful playing there on a beautifully set up instrument, Ian Spears, with the Edinburgh Pibroch by Captain John McClellan at an event in Edinburgh to celebrate the music, the Pibroch music specifically, of Captain John. And yeah, that's in the Waldorf Astoria Caledonian Hotel, as I said, a beautiful space, beautiful surrounding, nice, nice ring to that room. A little bit of sound spill from the Boy Racers on Lothian Road, just in case you're wondering what a couple of those interventions were there. But yeah, not a lot we could do about that. So perhaps I should tell you a little bit about Captain John McClellan himself. I don't think I've done that yet. So he's a fifer, was a fifer. Originally, he was born in Dunfermline, 1921, but he went north to St. Augustus Abbey School. And then his career, I guess, really started when he joined the Queen's Own Cameron Highlanders as a boy. That was just a few years before the Second World War. And at the age of 19, he was named Pipe Major of the 9th Battalion of the Queen's Own Highlanders. The youngest man ever named as a pipe major in the British Army. So that was a pretty auspicious start to his career. And yeah, so he remained an army man for quite some time. And to cut quite a long story short, he took over from Willie Ross, the great Willie Ross, as head of the Army School of Piping. That was in Edinburgh in 1959. And he stayed there for, well, it must have been a couple of decades heading on that anyway. Ah, yeah, 17 years. I've got a wee note here in the excellent notes in the programme from last weekend. 17 years he ran that at Edinburgh Castle. So many top pipers came through his tutelage during that time. Some great names who went on to be top pipers in their day. He was commissioned, hence the captain, and then became the first director of Army Bagpipe Music. He retired from there, but carried on a little bit of piping tuition. Martin Bennett, for example, is one name that comes to mind as one of his pupils. So, yeah, an amazing career, and that's just a potted history. He achieved so much more than that, including all manner of awards as a player himself. One of, without doubt, the great players, not just of the 20th century, but of any time in history. His son, Colin, kept that going very much. He was also a very successful competitor and now a judge, adjudicator and a reed maker. So again, one of these families where piping is just, it just saturates everything, you could say, for more than one generation. Anyway, it was lovely to gather in Edinburgh to hear some of his music. So, where do we go now? Let's take the next piece of music. So you're expert now. You know what to listen for. You know what it's all about. Keep listening to these drones, though, or at least the whole. It's easy to kind of ignore the drones if you're sort of trying to find the melody in a piece. But yeah, I would urge you to keep being aware of the whole thing, because it is about the mood, really, about that relationship of the whole bagpipe. Next, after Ian Spears, was Finlay Johnson. Now, talk about families of pipers and drummers in his case. Again, a family steeped for several generations in the music, the traditional music of the Highlands. His mother, Anne Johnston, is a well-known player. In fact, Anne was the first woman to win the silver medal. And her father, Alistair, was a piper. Tyree was their kind of backdrop, really, historically. And Alistair was Finlay's first teacher as well. Finlay's dad was a great drummer, great character as well. Sadly, I'm referring to him in the past tense now. He left us just a couple of years back. Tommy Johnson. And I mention also to Ronnie McShannon, who's been Finlay's main teacher through a lot of his career. And Finlay has had huge success on the competition boards. He's a double gold medalist. He's won the two gold medals, one at Inverness, one in Oban. He won the clasp at Inverness. Now, that's only open to gold medalists, so we're talking about the cream of the cream there. He's won the Glenfiddich title 2 years running in 2018 and 19. That's an invitational. Again, many of you will know all this, but just in case you don't, the Glenfiddich is a kind, it's often called the unofficial solo world championships because it's 10 of the top players in any given year who have won all the other competitions that season who are invited to Blair Castle at the end of October to kind of finish the season off, really. Anyway, he came out tops in 2018 and 19. So, without doubt, one of the world's elite players. Finlay's tune was Salute to the Succession. Now, not the recent Royal Succession, although he did compose a tune for that too, actually. But this one was one of Captain John's, and it was for the succession of Lord Carnock as chief of the Clan Nicholson. Anyway, here's Finlay's performance of it last weekend. Salute to the Succession.
Thank you.
Finlay Johnson with Salute to the Succession by Captain John McClellan, played in Edinburgh and captured for you last Saturday evening. Now, let's take a wee break from the music. I know it can be very intense listening to Kilmore. It's not exactly background music. You have to focus on it. I'm aware of that. So let's take a wee break. Go and make yourself a cup of tea, if you can, or whatever. Anyway, I'll wait for you. Put me on pause while you get your tea. Okay, are you back? Good. I'll carry on. Just delving a wee bit into some of the recent correspondence here that you've been so kind to send me on my email address, eyp@garywest.scot is where you'll find me. This one's from Stuart Cooper from Blairgowrie in beautiful Perthshire, he says. I won't argue with that, being from beautiful Perthshire myself. He says, I just wanted to say that I look forward to the podcast and really enjoyed the live version at Piping Live last week. So this came in last week, so that was referring to the one before, I guess. I'm working on my dissertation at the moment. Ah, interesting. Stuart, let us know what your dissertation's all about. That would be very interesting. Anyway, and I have the podcast playing in the background, and that's really helped. Okay, good to know. I was lucky to spend the whole week at Piping Live. That would be a nice break from your dissertation then, and heard lots of great music. I thought all of the staff at the National Piping Centre were excellent and went out of their way to be helpful. Well, I'll pass that on. Indeed, I am passing that on right now to Finlay and Helen and all the staff there, and I fully agree with that. It was a fun-filled week. On the last day, I even managed to fit in a tour of the museum with Hugh Cheap, which is always very informative. Yes, Hugh is your man for tours of museums. Hugh spent many, many decades as a senior curator at the National Museum of Scotland. It was he really who built up an amazing collection of instruments for the National Museum, some of which are in the National Piping Centre as well. Hugh knows his stuff. I'm not surprised, Stuart, you enjoyed that wee tour. And then he says, will your merch be available to buy on your website soon? Yes, yes. It's been remiss of me not to punt that a bit more. I got two or three t-shirts made just to see if they worked, and they did. So I've ordered a few more, and they are available on the website. And in fact, if any of you are friends of the podcast, here's my wee advert, the first of my wee adverts for this week, then you will get a wee discount from the t-shirts and other goods on the website. And that's because we send you, a code, that's what it is, in your weekly newsletter. Okay, see what I'm doing here? I'm enticing you in if anybody hasn't joined up yet. For a few pounds a month, you can be a friend of the podcast and you get all manner of goodies. Well, mainly a newsletter, but also put into the monthly draw. Actually, I'm just thinking, haven't organised that. Is this the last one this month? I guess it is. So next week, the next monthly draw will be next week. So, if anyone fancies joining, there's where can you find that? Hopefully on the podcast site that you're on right now, there's a wee badge or pop-up that says support the podcast. In the notes below, I think there is a link as well, or on my website, which is garywest.scot. So there's no excuse for not finding it. Anyway, yes, Stuart is the answer. There is merch available. And Stuart says, very many thanks and keep up the excellent work. Well, thanks to you, Stuart, for getting in touch. And you might also recall last week that Antonio from New York State asked about other people's experiences of learning the pipes. And we invited you to share your experiences if you feel that that's something you would like to do. Well, Mark Fainer, thank you so much. You're the first to do so. Hopefully the first of many. Mark says, hello, Gary. I just wanted to respond to your request on how one got started playing the pipes. For me, it was a love affair, starting when I was 5. I saw the Black Watch perform and became enthralled with it all. My grandmother, who was an important part of my life, would later on support this love by buying me a set of pipes when I graduated from high school. I, in turn, took lessons from a local pipe band in Fort Collins, Colorado, and I've been playing ever since the fall of 1982. My love affair has taken me all over the US, Canada, Ireland, and the UK, playing at weddings, funerals. I played for a Tibetan monk with throat singers. It was amazing, he said. Also solo competitions, band competitions. I've crashed weddings, I've played for spare change, and of course here in the US and Canada, St. Patrick's Day. It's now been 41 years. I made it to grade 2 and working on crossing into grade 1. My pipes, they are still the set my grandmother gave me. A set, there you go, a set of R.G. Hardys. Lovely. I still have the original chanter. I take it out at times to play it and remember the sound of old and in a way remember my grandmother. Well, that's lovely. That's so lovely. Mark, thank you very much for getting in touch. Great to hear your personal story of what bagpiping has meant to you, where it's taken you, and the fact that you play a set of R.G. Hardy bagpipes. Wonderful. Thanks. So, do get in touch with similar stories or totally different stories, but just what has piping meant to you? Because those people who are coming behind us, who are just starting out or who want to start out, are keen to hear everyone's experience. So, yeah, keep them coming. EYP at garywest.scot. Now, well done to some of the key winners at their Gaelshire gathering last week. That's one of the big solo competitions that always attracts a truly international field. It's held in Oban, and one of the two gold medal competitions is held there. The other one is at the Northern Meeting in Inverness this week. The gold medal in Oban went to Alistair Henderson. Alistair is pipe sergeant of the Inverary and District Pipe Band, and he now has both gold medals because he already had the Inverness one. So he's joined the elite club of double gold medalists. Well done to Alistair. Well done to Angus McCall Sr., who won the senior Pibroch. So that's the Oban equivalent of the clasp that I was mentioning earlier. It's open only to previous winners of a gold medal. So Angus McCall took that. Well done, Angus. Alex Gandhi, he's proving himself very hard to beat in light music events these days. He took the senior light music event, the former winners, March Strathspeyan, real hot on his heels of taking the equivalent recently in Inverness. That was last year. Jamie Elder took the silver medal. Alan Bevan took the A-grade March, and Callum Bowman the A-grade Strathspey and Reel. And well done to all of them and the other winners too. Right, back to the music, back to the Captain John McClellan dinner and evening of Pibroch from last weekend. Third to take the floor was Nick Hudson. Now, Nick was from Massachusetts originally, but he's now based in Texas, where he teaches at the St. Thomas's Episcopal School in Houston, which is something of a hotbed of piping and drumming. As I mentioned earlier, he had a real breakthrough last year. He won the gold medal at Inverness at the Northern Meeting last time round. This year's event, as I said, is coming up this week. I'll be heading up there very shortly, actually. Well, his tune last Saturday was composed by the captain after the fourth road bridge was built. That was in 1964, leading to the closure of the ferry service across the Forth, which had been in existence since, I think, the 11th century or so, about 1,000 years, I think, almost it had been in operation. So, yeah, it was a sad loss to many, despite the fact that, I guess, the Forth Road Bridge was rather handier and quicker. Nonetheless, Captain John saw fit to compose a tune. I don't know if it's celebrating it or mourning it. Anyway, it was certainly marking the closure of the ferry. The tune is Farewell to the Queen's Ferry, played by Nick Hudson. Yeah, another lovely performance and a lovely sounding instrument. Nick Hudson with Farewell to the Queen's Ferry, composed by Captain John McClellan and played in his memory, you could say, last weekend in Edinburgh. And the final competitor last Saturday was Willie McCallum. Now, the MC for the night, Ewan Anderson, described Willie as one of the most successful competitors in history. And you won't and can't argue with that, really. He's won pretty well everything there is to win many times over. And talking of piping being in families, that was never more true than with Willie's heritage, with his lineage. His uncle Hugh McCallum was one of the giants of piping of his generation. His brother Ronald and another Ronnie McCallum too. In fact, the line goes right back to the 18th century at least. Now, I didn't know that, but so the notes tell us, the notes from last weekend. I wasn't aware of that, that I knew it was a dynasty more than a family. But it says the McCallum family can trace their piping directly back to John McAllister, who won the prize pipe in 1782 at the Falkirk Trice. Now, that's a major thing, because that wasn't just any competition. That was really the beginning of piping competitions as we know them now, at the Falkirk Trice. Now, the Trice was a gathering of buyers and sellers of cattle, mainly, or buyers and sellers of anything agricultural, really. People went all across, or came from all across Scotland, from the Highlands down to the Falkirk Trice. So it seemed it was a kind of one of the biggest gatherings of any kind in Scotland back in the 1780s. So if you were going to start a piping competition, then maybe that seemed the best place to do it. It didn't last long there. It moved to Edinburgh pretty quickly. Anyway, I hadn't realised that it was one of the McCallum family who took that first one at the Falkirk Trice. Anyway, Willie is certainly keeping that family tradition going, and going very well indeed. His tune last weekend was The Phantom Piper of Corryierrick. Now, this was a piece, again, of course, composed by John McClellan, and it marked a rather famous incident in piping. When a small group of soldiers doing their national service, I think they were on exercise, and they passed through the Corryierrick Pass, somewhere between Fort Augustus and Laggan. And it was the leader, who was Lieutenant Colonel David Murray, who was once a presenter of the piping programme on the BBC, and was a judge and a fine piper himself, and a historian of bagpipes too. Anyway, a very, very much a military man, and he was taking these recruits through their paces, which included Ian McFadyen, famous piper as well. There were three pipers in all. Jimmy Smart and Ian Fraser were the other ones. Anyway, it was a pretty wet and pretty horrid Highland day, as you can sometimes get in the hills in the Highlands, of course. So they hadn't got the pipes out. They would normally play as they were marching, but they didn't do that because of the weather, and the pipes and the reeds would get soaking wet, and it would take a while to recover and all the rest of it. So they arrived, but when they arrived, their supper was ready, and they were slightly surprised at this because they didn't know how they knew they were about to come. And the cook said, "Well, we heard you piping. We thought that was you giving us the signal to get the tea on, because you would be here soon." But they hadn't played the pipes, hence the Phantom Piper of Corryierrick.
Thank you.
A ghostly tune, played beautifully there by Willie McCallum, the Phantom Piper of Corryerrick by Captain John McClellan. Willie played that at the Captain John Memorial Contest and dinner last weekend in Edinburgh. So that completes the four performances. I told you we were getting hardcore Pibroch tonight. I hope you're still with me. Yes, you are. Excellent. Anyway, there had to be a winner because it was technically a competition. And the person entrusted with deciding on that winner was Patricia Henderson. Patricia is a senior judge. She's an expert player of Pibroch 2. She was a successful competitor in her day, a trailblazer, really, for women in piping back in the, 1970s or so and onwards thereafter. Married to Murray Henderson, another of our greatest players. And their daughter, Faye, actually still holds the record as the only winner of a gold medal, only female winner so far of a gold medal. I'm fully expecting that to change very soon. Maybe it will change this week in Inverness. Time will tell. Anyway, Patricia declared that the winner was Ian Spears, the first performance we heard tonight. Congratulations to Ian on taking that title for the fifth time, which is an amazing record. At the end of the evening, as we were clearing up, I managed a quick wee chat with the MC and honorary pipe major of the Eagle Piper Society that run this event, himself a fine player and judge, Ewan Anderson. Ewan, another successful night.
Yeah, that was a record audience for us, actually. I think the final number was 124. Brilliant playing. Probably the room, truth to tell, was a little bit on the hot side for the Pipers. But, fabulous evening. Great playing. And it's just a different style, isn't it? A dinner and a very convivial atmosphere followed by some piping. What could go wrong?
And world-class piping at that. I suppose looking at the bigger picture, as you were saying in your comments there towards the end, it's all about celebrating the music of Captain John. And it's really worked because his tunes are right back up there, aren't they?
Well, it's surprising when you say that, because they very quickly got into the Premier Grade players, but I've judged a few B Grade competitions, and the tunes have been in their list, so the tunes have infiltrated right across the competitive ranks, and that's a testament. I mean, Pibroch is an acquired taste. And you'll know yourself when you listen to tunes on the first time. Some of the tunes, you need to listen to them a few times before you get the nuances and they grow on you. But they're fabulous. They're fabulous tunes. And truth to tell, unless we had run this dinner, they might have gone under the radar. So it's fantastic that they're out there and they're in, actually, the set lists this year. So, yeah, it's a job well done as far as we're concerned.
And there'll be people listening who, of course, didn't know Captain John, might not know much about him. But he was a hugely influential figure. I suppose there's not many pipers around today at the top level who either directly or indirectly have been or haven't been influenced by him in some way.
Yeah, but of course, Gary, I just knew him. I was a young lad at school with Colin. He meant really nothing to me. I didn't know who he was. He was just Colin's dad to me. And it was only really later on. I mean, I used to go to the Pibroch Society and be amongst the greats, John McFadgen, Seamus McNeil, and all these guys as a young man. And it was only really later that you fully grasped who he was and the gravitas. And you know, he think he still holds the only Grand Slam of all, winning all the major prizes in one year. He not only taught, but he laid down a legacy of recordings of his tunes. Very distinctive style. If you listen to his playing, he was no slouch. He rattled through the tunes, and I think that's a good thing. So, you know, it's great that we have this dinner in his memory.
Absolutely. Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed my evening, I have to say. All I had to do was push a few record buttons and listen to the music and eat the food and drink the wine, I have to say. So thank you so much. Cheers.
great, Gary, and good luck with the podcast. I'd thoroughly enjoy it.
Ewan Anderson, and thanks to Ewan and to his wife, Tina, who was one of the key organisers of this event, and to all of the Eagle Pipers, Douglas Gardner included, who invited me along to capture the event for you. So that's really my first outside broadcast, you could call it. Yes, we did the live show at the National Piping Centre, but that was other people who were doing all the work at that one. So, yeah, that was our first attempt, really, to go out and record an event for you. Thanks again to Charlie, my boy, for helping me set up. And, well, I'm delighted with the way it went, and I hope you enjoyed these recordings. And, yeah, thanks to everyone and to the family of Captain John McClellan, who really has, as Ewan was saying there, left us an amazing legacy. And it's great that these tunes are now being played. I suspect we'll be hearing some in the senior competitions this week, which is where I'm heading next, up to the Northern Meeting. I'll let you know how that goes next week. For now, that's it. And don't forget to, let me know what you're up to. Do keep dropping me a line, eyp@garywest.scot. And if you fancy joining up, becoming a friend of the podcast, then, as I said earlier, there's plenty of places you can find the link to do just that. And you'd be very welcome on board, and it really does help me meet my costs and manage to keep going with all of this. And once again, a firm thank you to RG Hardy Bagpipes for their sponsorship. That's it. I'll see you next time. Until then, please do enjoy your piping.